Hello, this is Tim Noonan with another Coffee Cast recorded on the 28th of January 2010. Happy birthday, Mum. I will give you a call later on. We are at Northside Coffee Mornings and I'm speaking with Robin Dickinson, R-O-B-I-N underscore D-I-C-K-I-N
S-O-N
on Twitter. Now, we were just having a conversation about smiles and voices, and I was saying that I thought Robin would be a fantastic person to talk with because when he speaks, he expresses his smile and the comfort that he has with himself and his enjoyment of life. I'm paraphrasing my interpretation of what I hear through his voice. What is your attitude to life?
First of all, I want to say happy birthday to your mum, and I won't be ringing you later, Tim's mum. But my attitude is what we were discussing before. You made the point about you can hear the joy and the smile in the voice, and I hadn't actually ever heard that expression that way. I notice when you speak that I can start to hear that, and I'm trained as a scientist, and one of the problems of being a scientist, I guess, is you tend to think in ways that deconstruct. You want to understand how things work, so part of my mind is deeply analytical. So a joyful smile as a scientist, I guess I'd really like to understand that, but also in a way that helps people share. I want to be able to enable a joyful smile and help others enable a joyful smile, which is where you do. I think it's a really great way of thinking, and it's fresh thinking, which is something I really appreciate. And sitting with you, Tim, you remind me of melody in words, of sounds, of the joy of the sound.
Well, actually, interesting you should mention melody. The musicality in the voice is the body's way of expressing what it's feeling. We express emotion through our voice, through more melodic speech. But some people, through their upbringing and their life experiences, are not very emotionally connected. They maybe weren't given permission to express and put into any form of expression their emotions through speech or through other ways, so they just let them go by the wayside. And those people often have very flat, monotonic, dry, boring voices. And when you're with those people, you don't get gifted with anything other than the facts, because they're thinking from their head alone. But when you bring musicality and melody into the voice, and you start to bring some of the elements of song, prosody and rhythm and all those almost indefinable qualities of vocal expression into speech, then that's how we bring life and express our inner world and the joy and the magic in our inner self to others, in my view. It happens through body language as well, but the voice is underestimated in terms of its ability to express rich subtleties. In my vocal branding work, one of my assertions is that the voice is in fact the carrier wave of emotion. It's incredibly noisy here today with traffic. We've got trucks and things going past.
Let's treat them as the background choir. On that point you're making, two things come out for me. One is that the expression through you, I used to think about what do I want to get out of life, and part of that reaching the midlife kind of lookout point was the realization that life's trying to do things through me. And if I only use my words and my body language, what you're saying is there's another whole part of us, if life was expressing through us, of that kind of orchestra of our self-expression. And that's what I'm really getting the gift of the conversation with you today, is a strong reminder that although technology may have dumbed down and discredited somewhat in lieu of the written word and the Skype video, that pay attention to our musicality, pay attention to that joy, because it's really, people are hearing that whether there's joy in our voice or not. They're still hearing that, aren't they?
In marketing, we often talk about the three V's, the verbal, which is the words, the visual, which is the body language and eye contact, and the vocal, which is the expression and intonation and all of the things that we've been talking about. A researcher back in the 70s asserts, and this is probably the most widely quoted and most misunderstood research in the universe, I'd say, Moravian. He says that if someone is communicating to you, then in terms of how you assess their attitude, how you assess their state of mind about what they're talking about, is that the words make up 7% of how you will assess their attitude about what they're talking about. And the body language is 55%, the eye contact and so on. And the tone of voice in a face-to-face communication, we assess their attitude through tone of voice by 38%. Now, that sounds pretty major. And it is pretty major because if you look at advertising budgets, we'd probably spend 2% on tone of voice, 85%, and I'm absolutely guessing here, on the visuals, and the balance on copywriting and getting the words just right. But here's what happens. If you imagine a television advertisement and you're taking a wee break, or you're letting the dog out, or you're turning the chops over on the barbecue, you can hear that ad, but you can't see it. So suddenly, or you're on the telephone and someone's communicating with you, or radio or podcast or whatever. And those situations when you're communicating just with sound, in any of those situations, the tone of voice jumps to 84% of how a person will assess your attitude to them, to what you're talking about, and also your attitude towards yourself. That means that the words are about 14%. So no matter what you say, unless you say it with conviction and your words and your tone of voice are harmonized and congruent, then you're sending a dissonant message that causes cognitive dissonance for the listener, and they will be unsure. If you go for a job interview and you're telling a story, which is a great way to get a job, if that story is not real, then your tone of voice is going to reflect that. It will be incongruent to the words. People will be uncertain about you and you won't get the job.
Well, I think anyone that's listening, really, you've given a succinct understanding of impact, of influence, in a way that we're in a what I call a toot and wave world, which is, as you can imagine, we toot each other. Hi, Tim, how are you? Nice to see you. Goodbye. And that kind of grab and go, where with some thought and some congruence, I mean, I know today I'm going to be paying much greater attention to the quality of my voice. And even when you were speaking, I'd butt in, but I was kind of reluctant. I was wanting to give greater consideration to how I would say something, not just, I'm usually just into what I say. So I think it's a terrific reminder.
Voice and vocal authenticity, yeah, that is what I'm truly passionate about. And I truly believe that the voice is the most influential sound on the planet. And yet, in business, in marketing, in media, and in interpersonal communications, which are probably the most important of all, family, loved ones, our children, we underestimate the power of our voice, both
that,
to be kind or cruel.
On
you know?
That point, so I thought I'd just practice interrupt that.
Yeah. Well, you winked at me, but I took no notice.
I saw. With that, is that because the child in the womb, really, other than physiologically, one of their first experiences of mum, surely, is the heartbeat sound, auditory, is the sound of mum's voice.
You've taken one of the key arguments that I've put, which is that in the womb, hearing is the first sense that develops. We hear the heartbeat, it's very loud, and yes, then the mother's voice and even the father's voice coming through the mother's body is the first sound that that child hears. And they don't understand the words, but they do understand, I think, at a visceral level, vocal language. And we're taught vocal language. When we pop out of the womb, the first thing we do is make sound. That is our embracing of the world of air as opposed to the world of water. We make noise. We're born naked. Our voice is naked. Almost all babies' voices world over sound virtually identical, and then society acculturates us. We learn, a bit like a bonsai plant, what noises to make, what noises aren't acceptable. We get told to be quiet in church, probably when that's the place where we could be most joyful. And I think that we can learn more about vocal expression and waking up our emotional selves and reintegrating our emotions and our intellect by engaging with babies and puppies.
So we're going everywhere here.
We are.
Tim, several things come to mind which must be future conversations. One is the difference between dialects, the musicality of language, and the effect that has culturally. Another thing that came to mind from what you were saying there is the dumbing down of voice and how we reclaim that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I was getting, as you mentioned, church, and that should be the place where we get the joyful nature or some kind of congregation, is I immediately thought of the Gregorian chants and chanting,
yes.
and that role seems to be highly auditory.
Let me just quickly go to Gregorian chant and toning and extended vowel sounds. There was a monastery in France in the early 70s when Vatican II had come in, These were monks who were in a relatively closed community. They weren't digesting food well, they were getting depression, they were suffering both physical and emotional illnesses. They were not coalescing as a community. The spirit that bound that community together was very, very frail and fragile and fragmented. An extraordinary ear, nose and throat specialist, Dr. Tomatis, was for some reason called into this community to try and find out what was wrong. And what he did was he put this group back onto a new sonic and vocal diet of Gregorian chant. He also changed their diet back to more vegetarian, natural, simple meals. And in a matter of months, this community came back to oneness and wholeness. And it's because that the voice has an incredible capacity to heal, one of the most powerful tools of healing that we're starting to have a reawakening to is the power of vibration to heal and sound to heal, but in particular the voice is something that without any external forces, materials, devices or even training, that we can massage ourselves from the inside out just through a simple diet of toning and sounding. And this isn't speaking, it's not singing. This is in fact allowing the body to reclaim its property, because the voice is in fact the property of the body, yet it is imprisoned in our culture by the mind.
So what would be an example of how that sounds? I just want to leave with a complete picture of this.
Here's some vowel sounds. So we could, for example, if I'm wanting to wake myself up, I'd start by doing a little bit of humming. So just a sort of a... And that's putting a lot of my body into resonance.
It almost looks like you're doing a bench press when you do that.
It can be quite energetic.
Wow.
And then, if I want to really get what Don Campbell calls the sonic caffeine, is the E sound.
Sonic what?
The E vowel, extended E, is nature's sonic caffeine.
Wow.
So I haven't drunk much of my coffee.
Wow. Sonic caffeine.
And we do this in three...
Can I have a grande?
You can have a grande. Now, this if you do this, it will clear your energy field. It will clear a subway, train carriage, if you're being harassed. We start off with a low pitch, low volume one, which we said like... But already I'm feeling... You'll feel my voice is getting more... dynamic, and now I'm going to go to the middle one.
I can feel that.
You'll feel it hitting.
I can feel it hitting.
It radiates outwards.
Oh, wow. That's like a human taser.
Yeah, and now we're going to do the high one. Now, the whole room has quietened down now. I have commanded the room.
Even the traffic quietened down.
Now, people might think I'm a bit of a weirdo, but I can tell you...
No, I don't.
You do 2 minutes...
That's extraordinary.
But what you actually start with is the ascending R sound. This is the way to get your heart rate down, to get your breath natural, you clear the lungs, and this will just make you feel warm and snuggly. So this is... So let's take everyone back to a more gentle state with the ascending R. Now, I just felt my body falling back into repose.
I felt my body falling into the seat, going down into the seat.
It does. It travels down and it takes you out of your head.
That's unbelievable. I haven't ever experienced a voice affecting my physicality like that.
So imagine doing this before a business meeting where you want someone to not only sign the deal with you, but know that they're doing it because they trust you and because you understand them and connect with them. This is the perfect way to get in tune with another person.
These are practical and you can apply them instantly, which is something I really like.
You've been at a day at work, you've had a crappy day, you come home to your partner, you come home to your kids and you want to have, like, Dad, I've had a horrible day, and your partner's going, oh, well, let me tell you, the kids have been terrible. Instead of doing that, you embrace, you put your hand on each other's chest and you do a simultaneous ascending R sound. Synchronize your breathing for 40 seconds and then you're in tune and you honor each other with whatever follows subsequently. The voice is magic.
I'm going to be applying that from now on as a standard in the day. I think you've given an extraordinary conversation. It's extraordinary to speak to you, Tim, and I just can't wait to hear it again because I want to go and review and practice the skill. I think you offer a great gift to us all. Thank you so much.
Well, Robin, thank you. You've been a phenomenal, well, more than a catalyst, but you've allowed me to connect with the sorts of things that I think about, talk about and write about almost all the time at the moment while I'm doing my work around voice and vocal branding. And my deeper voice work I call vocal consciousness. My passion and purpose in life is to work with people to raise their conscious awareness of how they use their voice and the voices around them. And you've given me an opportunity to connect with that stuff and talk about it on a coffee cast. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we close with doing that descending one together?
Absolutely. That was fantastic.
That was amazing to try.
Why don't I do one first and then we'll do it together?
Great.
Why don't you pop one hand on your forehead when you do it and the other hand on your chest?
Great.
Just to feel how much vibration the human voice creates.
Excellent.
This is how to, in 5 seconds or 10 seconds, slow your heart rate and bring you to a state of tranquility, warmth, and connectedness. So I'll do it first, and then we'll do it together.
Excellent. Okay. Excited. And joyful.
Here we go. Okay, and we'll do this together.
Excellent. Hands okay. are in place. I've got a hand on the forehead and a hand on the heart.
So really deep breath.
Wow.
You cannot help but feel transformed.
Straight away. I felt it travel all the way down.
Just a reminder, the Coffee Cast is online as a posterous, and it's http://coffeecast.posterous.com. If you want to follow me, at Tim Noonan, TimNoonan, done at the Northside Coffee Mornings. We will talk to you very soon.